So I'm happy to be here and to be presenting some work that we've done over the last 3 years on some drainage water management work and looking at corn and soybean roots and how they've been responding to that manipulation of the shallow water table. Dr. Andre Ranavasan, who you've already heard, is one of my co-authors, as well as Dr. Axel Garcia there in the back row. So when we start, the first few slides are just going to be a little bit of kind of refresher and things to kind of to think about in terms of roots and how they're functioning. So, you know, we know that they're there to anchor and stabilize the plant. Absorption of water and the inorganic nutrients that are there, as you can kind of see in that that little slide depiction, thinking about mainly in terms of nitrogen for the corn plant that I've got pictured there. Storage of food and nutrients in those systems, and then, of course, vegetative reproduction. So when we start looking at some of the results here, we're really only going to be kind of focused in on looking at the root system itself. Just a selfish plug here, I've got another talk on Wednesday that we're going to look at the nitrogen uptake from these same types of systems in a nitrogen cycling talk. But suffice it to say that the absorption of the water and particularly the nutrient nitrogen is affected by how we're managing the water in that shallow root zone area. So when we start looking at limiting factors for root growth, unless you're with the last speaker talking about rice, water can be kind of an enemy where we get, of course, deficit or excess soil water conditions. Too much water can create insufficient oxygen status and create some issues for the plants. In this case, corn and soybeans we'll be looking at. But we also can see that, you know, there can be natural or operational hard pans that can create issues with roots, and that can be accentuated by some of the water, dry or excess wet types of conditions. High temperatures, allelopathy, and root competition can also be factors that can creep in and create some issues for the root growth. And most of the time, we aren't probably really thinking about the roots because we can't see them as they're growing, as the plant's growing. We're only looking at the end of the season and looking at the crop and the grain that comes out itself. So the objective here is to quantify root length density. I've got root biomass on there. I'm not showing the root biomass, although we have it, just in the interest to make sure that I had enough time to get through the slides and answer questions. But we're looking at corn root length density here for corn and soybean grown under different soil water management conditions. So those soil water management conditions, we basically have three conditions that we're looking at. So we've got an undrained condition that we've got out there where we've got plants growing where we have no improved drainage in those systems. We have two others that are a conventional drainage system. So in the part of the world that I'm from, typically we will have subsurface drainage installed to a depth of about 1.2 meters or a meter if it's shallow drainage. We also have controlled drainage where we install the pipe at a meter to 1.2 meters, but we have an outlet control structure that we can adjust the outlet level height to adjust the level of the water, as you see there. So the systems that we're going to be showing you today are going to be two or three of the three. We had different two different sites and didn't have the capacity to do all three of these water management conditions at all three sites. So the data that I'm showing you is actually part of a much larger project. The larger project is looking across eastern South Dakota, southwest Minnesota, and south central Minnesota. The data that I've got to share from the root data for today is going to come from both of the Minnesota sites, the one in the southwest and the one in south central Minnesota. So the methodology that we're using here, we've worked with a couple of scientists and adopted the GraceNet protocols that they put together for greenhouse gas work that they've done. And we've adopted their root collection, storage, and washing procedures for our project. We're using the WinRISO software for analysis. So basically that amounts to a scanner and some proprietary software to allow us to actually scan the roots and then go in and do some of the analysis. Now, the WinRISO software gives an immense more data than what I'm actually showing you today, but I just kind of cherry-picked the root-like density data just to kind of focus on. We've got some statistical analysis because we have some unbalanced data out there. We're using non-parametric methods, the Kruskal-Wallis and the pairwise Mann-Whitney test. And we're, because of the variability of roots inherently anyway, we're using a p-value of 0.1 to test our comparisons. So for our methodology, what we did was is we went out to take 2 5-centimeter diameter soil cores down to a depth of 1 meter. Now, prior to this, we actually have a couple of other projects where we've taken roots in corn, soybeans, alfalfa, and some small grains down to 2 meters. And we found that, at least in our part of the world, in the soils that we have, really going down to about a meter is sufficient. And the technical staff really like that because it's a little bit less work of having to handle all of the roots and wash and sieve and filter them out. We took roots from 2 different locations. We took them from in the row. So in the corn, we took it right next to the corn plant, and then we went at 20 centimeters away in the inter-row area. For soybean, we took it over the top of the actual soybean plant to try to get that tap root, and then at the same distance from the row. We went in at very specific times in terms of when we were trying to look at optimizing the root growth in these systems. So we were just after tasseling for the corn, and we were looking at the full pods for the soybean plants. And we separated those into 4 different depth increments at 20 centimeter depth increments for the first 3 depths, and then a 40 centimeter as we got deeper into the profile. So we'll jump right to the results that we've got. So we've got 3 years of data. And so I might add that there's another treatment up there that is not part of the statistics, but it's our reference point. And that's the lines that are going to be in yellow on both of the slides. So this is the Tracy root summary. So this is the southwestern Minnesota site. So when you look at this, the black is the undrained cropland. The red is the controlled drainage cropland that we have at that site, a conventional drainage crop, and then this undrained perennial that we have out there. Now, at this particular site, the farm has been in the family since 1885. The perennial has never been sod busted, so we call it a remnant prairie. So it's a remnant undrained prairie. So you can kind of look at the difference between the roots from the different crops that we have out there in the years compared to what that remnant prairie is. It's pretty dramatic. The statistical analysis is only done for the cropped areas based on the drainage water management conditions that we have. In 2015 and 2017, we had corn at this particular site. We had soybean in 2016. And when we start looking at this, particularly in 2015, which tended to be about as wet as 2017, but the timing and the way that the water came in 2015 was earlier in the season, so we had a much wetter profile during the course of the growing season. A lot of the water that came in 17 here has actually come late, very late in the season, actually after the crop has senesced. So we had different soil water conditions, which we also monitor. But where we see there's a fairly big separation down around that, these are the midpoints, the 50 centimeter depth, which is about the depth at which we were managing that shallow water table with the controlled drainage system. So the green conventional drain was had quite a bit more root length density, statistically speaking, than the undrained or the controlled drainage, where we actually elevated that water level. Now, I have not answered the question, Did we prune roots or did we kill roots because of the water level management? That I don't know. All I know is that we have differences based on those water management strategies. The other thing to look at, particularly in 2016, is that for the soybeans, there was really no differences at all, and there was much less roots in that system compared to the corn. In our part of the world, we know that soybeans are susceptible to root diseases when they are wet. We did not evaluate root diseases in these particular fields, but it was a little bit actually surprising to me, since I'm a soil scientist and not a crop person, that the there was really not much difference in that soybean system. The Waseca root site from South Central Minnesota is with soybeans in 2015 and then corn in 2016 and 2017. So again, soybean here in 2015 was very similar to what we saw at the Southwest Minnesota site. The corn in 2016 and 2017, there was very little difference in the corn in 2016, a little bit of separation, but not statistically significant. In 16 at that particular site. However, in 17, we did start seeing a bit more separation, and we saw statistically significant differences at that 50 centimeter and that 80 centimeter average depths for those comparisons between the undrained and the conventional drainage. One other thing that I should point out is that you do notice that for the perennial undrained, there's a bit more difference here. This is lower than at the other site. The other site was an undrained prairie. This is an area that is wet and has been disturbed and is taken over by invasive species. So the species mixes are different at the two different locations, which probably is the main reason why the root length densities are different at those two sites there. So when we start looking at these by crops, the values for corn are on the left, and when we start looking at this, I'm only comparing the undrained and the conventional because we had that treatment at both sites for the two crops. So we do see that when we start comparing the over years, the 50 centimeter depth where we're managing that water level higher is statistically different between the two undrained and the drained, where there's quite a bit more root length density, healthier plants. They do yield better where we have the conventionally drained compared to the undrained at both of the locations for corn. For soybeans, again, very, very little difference here, not statistically significant at all at either of those two sites. So the statistical analysis for root length density showed that there were differences between years, between the depths and between the crops, between the corn and the soybeans. For corn, it was quite a bit more dramatic between that 40 and 60 centimeter depths, which does coincide with our water level management strategy. By the way, we're doing the water level management for two purposes. One is we hope to store water during the growing season for improved yields, but also for water quality to reduce nitrate and phosphorus leaving the system. So 2015 and 2017, in 2015 we saw it statistically significant at the western site in Tracy, and in 2017 at the south central site in Minnesota. Soybean root length density was not affected by water management, and when we start averaging over 4 years for the corn, it was affected, again, at that same depth where we're managing the water level, but averaging over the two site years for soybeans was not affected by water level management for the soybean crop. And the last thing that I would feel remiss without acknowledging this very long list of my collaborator and the people that worked on all those roots. Without them, we couldn't have done all of this, and it takes, if you've ever done any root work, it takes a lot of dedication and immense amount of time. And so I'm very, very grateful for all of these. I'm not really sure if this was, you'll notice that the last names are similar here. I'm not sure if this is Dad and his two daughters. Dad was the landowner of the two daughters. He said, "Why don't you go work for Jeff?" And I don't know if it was punishment or what it was, but they worked on roots for me. So, and that's all I've got.
We've got a couple minutes for questions.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. Do you
about sampling. How many samples did you take for the row?
Okay, so we have, yeah, thank you for that. Yeah, so we have four replicated locations for each one of those areas that we have. So when you look at it, we actually have, we combined the samples between, we did not separate the row and the inter-row samples. We combined those two samples, and we did that at four locations. So we have eight locations per site per year for each one of the drainage systems.
So we can name it eight samples.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's go to the left side first and come back to you. Yeah.
Okay. Roots is good, but what about the yield? Is there any correlation between the size of the roots and yield?
Well, so we didn't run statistical analysis to correlate between root sizes and yield. However, we do see, depending on the crop, for soybeans, it's much smaller, the yield differences that we see at those sites. The corn yields are probably anywhere from, well, because I don't have it listed in this one, it's going to be a little bit more difficult for me to convert from bushels per acre to hectares, but we're probably talking about less than 10 bushels per acre difference between the conventional and the controlled drainage, but closer to 20 bushels per acre between the conventional and the undrained. So it is having an effect on the yields at the end of the day. Yeah. But whether there's a correlation between the root sizes themselves, we haven't done that analysis. So Andre, keep that in your head. We got to do that analysis.